Thank you, worship team, for leading us today. It's good to sing those songs together and to remember the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Tonight, I'm going to speak to you a little bit from the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 37. So if you have a Bible, you can open up to that part of Scripture. If not, you can just listen along. Life is full of invitations, isn't it? There are lots of invitations that we experience in our life. Some are very pleasant. Some are not so pleasant. Some are irrelevant. Maybe you get invited to a friend's birthday party or to a wedding or to a baptism service. That's a very pleasant invitation. Or maybe you're in high school and you get invited to go to the principal's office. Not so pleasant. But other times, their invitations are irrelevant. You get junk mail, and it's an invitation to try some product that you don't really need or don't have the money for, and you can just ignore it. Well, tonight, we're going to be considering an invitation that Jesus Christ himself gives to us, and we hear it in John 7:37. Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Now, tonight we're going to consider briefly this part of Scripture. We're going to think about first, what does this mean? Second, how can it be true? And third, what are you going to do about it? So that's where we're going to go tonight. What does it mean? Second, how can it be true? And third, what are you going to do about it? So let's consider first in John 7:37, what does this mean when Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink"? Well, it's always good to read your Bibles in context to make sure you understand what the passage is about. And if you have your Bible open, you see that John chapter 7, there's this feast going on in Jerusalem. It's the Feast of the Booths. So the Jewish people were remembering God's faithfulness to them in their 40 years of wandering in the desert. And every year they would do this Feast of the Booths, remembering when they had these little shelters as they lived in the desert. And Jesus is at the Feast of the Booths in Jerusalem, and he's doing some teaching. And now it's the final day of the feast. It's like the climax. And what we read in John 7:37, it says, "On the last day of the feast, the great day," so the anticipation is built up, "Jesus stood up and cried out." You have this scene in your head? Jesus stands up and he says this very loudly. "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So that is the context of this passage. Now, what did Jesus mean when he said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink"? Now, first we need to clear away the obvious thing. He wasn't referring to a physical thirst. So Jesus wasn't there with a cooler full of Aquafina waters, you know, inviting people to come because it was a hot day in Jerusalem. Come and have a drink. We know he's not offering a literal cup of water, but Jesus is using a metaphor to teach us a spiritual truth about himself. Jesus is using a metaphor to teach us a spiritual truth about himself. And he does this throughout the scriptures. Jesus at one point refers to himself as the bread from heaven. Now, Jesus obviously is not a loaf of bread, but he is like a loaf of bread in the sense that you eat the bread and it gives you life and it nourishes you. And when you come to Christ, you believe in him, you have his life in you. Jesus also says that he is the door. Now, he's obviously not a door, but what that means is he's the way into heaven and to eternal life. And here, Jesus is using a metaphor as well. It says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Now, what does he mean in this metaphor? Well, I think the thirst is referring to this longing of our souls. There's a spiritual thirst within us for God. It's within every human heart. Our souls have a longing, a desire for God. And he says, come to me and drink. Now, that's referring to placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Coming to him, submitting our lives to Jesus, worshiping him. And that is the drinking. So there's a thirst for God, thirst for life. And Jesus, we drink by believing on Jesus and coming to him. There's other scriptures that speak about that God, you know, speaks to us using that kind of metaphor. The book of Isaiah 55, we see the same kind of thing. Isaiah 55, verse 1, God's word says this, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. It's God speaking through his word, this language of water and drinking. As our souls are thirsty, and God will satisfy us. He will quench the thirst of our souls. Consider another passage in Scripture, Jeremiah 17. God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah to call his people back to himself because they are wandering astray. In Jeremiah 17, 13, the prophet Jeremiah says this, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth. They have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Is this the imagery is that our souls are thirsty and only God can satisfy our souls. And that was true in Jesus' day, and it's true today, and it will be true every day. So Jesus is inviting his hearers to have the thirst of their souls quenched by coming to him in faith. That's what it means when Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. But the second question is, how is this true? How can Jesus actually satisfy our souls? How can Jesus do that? Well, it is true, and two reasons. First, we see it in the gospel. And second, we see it in the unique nature of who Jesus is. So first, we see it in the gospel. The gospel is just the good news about Jesus. And Christians, we are all about the gospel. It's the good news of God's love and grace. I appreciate there's a helpful way of summarizing the gospel using 3-2-1. Maybe you've heard it before, maybe not. But here's a helpful way, I think, of explaining the gospel. It starts with three. God is three persons united in love. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Before there ever was a world or a universe, there was God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The eternal, infinite God. Full of love and joy within himself. No needs. The one perfect God. But out of love and for his glory, he created the universe, all the stars, all the planets, and he made the earth, and he made all the animals and the plants, and he made humans in his image to know him and love him and walk with him. Two, the story of this world is a story of two people, Adam and Jesus Christ. See, the first people that God made, Adam and Eve, they walked with him, they knew him, and they loved him, but then they sinned. They disbelieved him and they did what they were. They broke his law. And when they sinned, when Adam sinned, he brought sin and death into this world. And we all feel the effects of it. There's an estrangement between us and God. Our bodies get old and decay. Things are not right in our relationships with each other or even within our own self. There's something desperately wrong. And that is the path of Adam. But there's another Adam, the second Adam, Jesus Christ. God the Son became a man, Jesus Christ, and he lived on earth and he lived a perfect life. And unlike Adam, he never sinned. He lived a perfect life and the life of love and holiness. And he came for sinners like us. And he went to the cross and he died on the cross for all of our sins. Though he had no sin himself, he did it in love for his people. And he rose again, conquering sin and death. And this second Adam, Jesus, shows us another way to live. A way of walking with God and walking in God's ways. and enjoying God now and forever is the way of life in goodness and beauty and truth. So there's only two ways, the way of Adam or the way of Jesus. One, you are one with Adam, be one with Jesus. We came into this world just like Adam, unbelieving, corrupt in our hearts, following the path of Adam in sin. And unless we turn to Christ, that path only leads to destruction, death, and hell. But we can go in the way of Christ by believing in Jesus. The good news of the gospel is if you believe in Christ, if you trust in him as your Savior, you'll be saved from sin, from the path of Adam, of destruction and folly. You are one with Adam. Be one with Jesus. Believe on Christ. Receive that as a free gift of eternal life. That's the gospel in the 3-2-1 presentation. I did not come up with it. A guy I know in Britain, Glenn Scrivener, came up with it. And I think it's a helpful way of explaining the gospel. Now, since the gospel's true, when Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, we can trust in him because he's God the Son. And he saved us from our sin. And of course, he's able to satisfy the deepest longings of our soul. But we also know that it's true in this way, that there's a uniquely satisfying nature of Jesus Christ. Jesus is uniquely satisfying. There's no one like Jesus Christ to satisfy our souls. Maybe that's the best way to put it. Think about it in all the ways that our souls have longings and how Christ fulfills them. Within every heart, there's a longing for truth. Who is God? What happens after we die? What does it mean to be human? How am I supposed to live? We long for truth, don't we? Don't we want to know the truth about ultimate reality? Well, Jesus Christ comes and he reveals the truth. And John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We can rest our heads on that pillow, in a sense, of Christ tells us the truth about God and myself. I may not know all these other questions in my life, but I know that I can be right with God through Jesus. I know I can have eternal life through him. Jesus will satisfy that our thirst for truth. Jesus satisfies our thirst for goodness. We long for what is good. In Titus 3:4, it says, the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared at the coming of Jesus Christ. If you've never read any of the Gospels, can I invite you to read one of them tonight in the Bible? The Gospels are the biographies of Jesus. And when you read those Gospels, you see that no one was like Christ. His life was full of love and kindness and goodness, even to his enemies. You know, and our souls long for that. And our souls can be satisfied in the goodness of Christ. Our souls thirst for beauty. We watch a nature documentary and we delight in all the things we see. We see a beautiful person. We hear a beautiful song, a beautiful piece of artwork. Our souls were made for beauty. And God is the infinite beautiful one. In Christ, we see that beauty in his life. Mark 8:37, they're thinking about what Jesus did, and the people around him said, he does all things well. There's a striking beauty in the person of Christ that our souls can drink deeply of. In Christ, our longing, our thirst for a restored relationship with God is possible. In Ephesians 2:13, it says, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. In Christ, our thirst for glory is satisfied. You know, we all long for glory. Every one of us, we long for glory. Maybe we try to find it in the glory of being a good athlete or very strong or very beautiful or very smart or very successful. But we long for glory. And actually, it's a good thing. But we are made for God's glory. All those other glories will ultimately not satisfy. Only God deserves all of the glory. But through Christ, that longing to share in his glory is satisfied. Our souls thirst for forgiveness. Because of our sins, we are guilty before a holy God. We want forgiveness, and we can have forgiveness through Christ in the gospel. In Colossians 1:14, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Our souls thirst for security. We want to feel safe. Now, it's tempting in this world to find our ultimate security in our jobs or in our finances or maybe in a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a spouse, to feel ultimate security there. And there's some security there, but all those things can be taken away in an instant. But in Christ, we have a security that transcends all of those things, even past the grave. Jesus said this in John 10:28. He says, I give them eternal life. He's speaking about his followers. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. If you are a Christian, you're in the hand of Christ, and no one can snatch you out of it. Not the devil, not someone else, not even your own self. You're so secure. You're safe in Christ's hand. That's the longing that we for security and safety satisfied in Jesus Christ. Our souls are thirsty for happiness. Every one of us want to be happy. There's no one in this room who doesn't want to be happy. And in Christ, our souls can experience a kind of joy that's better than everything of this world. Psalm 16:11, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. There is a joy in Jesus Christ. I like that quote from Augustine. It says, the heart is restless until it finds rest in God. And guys, you're going to be restless until you do find rest in Jesus. A boyfriend, a girlfriend, that's not going to provide you eternal, everlasting happiness. There might be some happiness in the moment in the things of this life. Being successful, having money, but they're fleeting happiness. The happiness that Christ offers is an enduring happiness, one that actually gets better and better and better. As a family, we just read through the Chronicles of Narnia. Anybody else read Chronicles of Narnia? Well, maybe half of you. If you haven't, you should go read them. They're a great set of stories, written for children, but adults can really read them and enjoy them. And in the very last book, it's called The Last Battle, and there's this imagery of heaven. And there's this, they're running on the new earth faster than they could ever run, and they're not getting tired. And it's better. It's so amazing. And they go, line is further up, further in. It's even better as they go in. Further up, further in. It even gets even better. This is what Christ offers when he says, anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Christ offers a happiness, an eternal joy. Doesn't mean your life won't have trials and hardships. You will as a Christian. But there's also a happiness and joy that Christ will give you through it all. Our hearts, our souls also thirst for love. We want love. We want to be loved. Now, it's tempting, especially as a high school student, to try to find that in a girlfriend or boyfriend, or even in your friend's love, to try to fill your heart with those things. I know that was my own situation when I was a high school student. I thought that was everything. But those things can lead to heartache, can lead to broken hearts, and they are temporary. But in Christ, we experience the love of God, which transcends all understanding. Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love for us that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Our hearts were made to drink deeply of God's love. And if you come to Christ, you experience his love poured into your heart. And it's a love that the psalmist says is better than life. It's better than any other love. And Christ offers it to you if you come to him. Finally, our souls thirst for God. We may not know it, but our souls have a thirst. Sometimes you don't know you're thirsty, but you get a headache, right? It's a summer day, you've been out, and you're like, why do I have this headache? Where did this headache come from? Oh yeah, I'm outside all day. My body's telling me I'm thirsty. Guys, we are made for God. There is a thirst within us. We can try to satisfy it in these other things, but they won't ultimately quench our thirst. But in Christ, our thirst for God can be quenched. John 17:3, Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Christ satisfies the deepest longings of our souls. So what does Jesus mean when he said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink"? Well, we've seen he's inviting his hearers to have the thirst of their souls quenched by believing in him. How do we know it's true? Well, we know it's true because of the gospel and of the unique nature of who Jesus is. Only Christ can ultimately satisfy our souls. That leads to our last point. What will you do with Jesus's invitation? What will you do with Jesus's invitation? Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Hear his invitation tonight. Will you come to Jesus Christ and drink? Drink of eternal life and forgiveness of sins. Will you have all of your sins washed away and become a child of God? Will you experience eternal life? Will you come to him and drink? What will you do with this invitation? Because it wasn't just for the first century. It's written so that we would hear it too. That invitation is valid for us here in Naperville on this evening. What will you do with the invitation from Christ? Christ says, "Come to me and drink." Have you come to Christ? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you turned from your sins, acknowledged that you are a sinner, and put all of your confidence in Jesus the Savior? Have you come to him? Have you said, "I want you above everything else. I want to follow you. I want to drink. My soul is thirsty"? Have you done that? If you have not, you can do that tonight. You can believe on Jesus Christ. You can experience the satisfying, the quenching of our thirsts that only Jesus Christ offers. You can believe in him tonight. And if you already have believed, we can rejoice again. Christ satisfies. That's such good news. And it helps us actually to enjoy all the other things of this world in the right way. Now, I want to leave you with a story here from the book of Matthew, speaking of an invitation. And it's a warning to us in this topic of invitations. So Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14, Jesus tells a parable about the kingdom of heaven. And consider the warning here, as the invitations have been given, and there's different ways of responding. We read this in Matthew 22, and again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything's ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off. One to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you can find.' And those servants went out into the roads, and they gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. You've heard the gospel call. Come to Jesus. Believe on Jesus Christ, and you will have eternal life. Come to him. Hear that. Don't be like the people in the parable, paying more attention to their business or their other things. Make Christ first tonight. Believe on him. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the invitation that you give. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. We thank you that that invitation is valid for us tonight. We can come to you and have our soul's thirst quenched and satisfied. We can have all of our sins forgiven. We can become right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, for anyone here tonight who wants to have their thirst satisfied through Jesus, who's the only one who can satisfy our thirst of our souls. Lord, I pray for my dear friends. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to believe in Jesus, even now, to place all of their faith and trust, to turn from their sins, and to believe in Jesus. Lord, I pray that my friends here tonight would hear this invitation and not cast it aside, but would believe on Jesus and put their faith in you, Lord, and receive eternal life. God, I pray for those of us who have already believed that we would be encouraged and reminded of the glorious nature of Christ, who alone can satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.